I would encourage them to knock on clinic doors and ask if you can shadow. Honestly, it's so valuable.
Hello and welcome back, everyone. Today we have a special guest. Welcome, Alicia. We're joined with Alicia Yap. She is the founder and educational director of Clleroderma Academy and the visionary behind Clleroderma Medical Aesthetics and Laser Clinic.
Hi.
Alicia, you have about 11 plus years experience in the industry. You've been the recipient of the 40 Under 40 Business Achievement Award, and you were featured on Reveal Magazine's cover. So we want to pick your brains. We want to talk about, how do you open a med spa for our listeners who are thinking about it or maybe starting the process? Because a lot of times, you start something, you look back and you're like, I wish I knew that when I started. And we kind of want you to tell us things that you wish you knew when you first started. So we'll get into that. Welcome to the show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I sincerely appreciate it.
So tell us, let's go back to shortly, but the beginning, like how did you, what made you choose this industry? Did you go right into medical aesthetics?
I did actually. I've always had an inkling for aesthetics in general. I'm an Italian heritage, so I had quite a lot of body hair when I was growing up, and it was always my Achilles heel. And so I had a personal sort of interest for that measure, and at that time, I'm 36 years old, so at that time there wasn't a ton of options when I was younger. So I was like bleaching my mustache and getting wax strips from Shoppers Drug Mart, and all of those things were very temporary fixes. And I always just had it. I'm like, I can't, this is not sustainable. Like, I need to do something more impactful. So I think I always kind of had that in my blood. And then I went into social work actually originally out of high school, and I did my degree in that field and then worked in the field. So I just love helping people. That was kind of the forefront of why I chose that career, and then decided to choose medical aesthetics after that, with that passion for sort of my own personal skin goals. I had acne and stuff growing up too. So the acne and body hair kind of sort of got my interest piqued, and then my need for helping people kind of collided and made a really perfect sort of profession.
And did you, so you said medical, did you know about traditional aesthetics? Can
Oh,
I
for
call it
sure.
that maybe?
Yeah, just from utilizing them, right? Like, I was like constantly getting stuff waxed or my brows done, or pedicures, manicures. I was super into it just on a personal level, and I was always inviting my friends over. I'm like, I can wax your body for you if you want. Like, so I always had an interest in it, but I never studied like the basic aesthetic courses, or I never did that. I went straight to the hardcore stuff. I was like, no, I need something heavy. And yeah, that was sort of what piqued my interest. So I Googled. I was more interested in laser hair removal, I would say, to begin with. So that kind of led into all of the other things, right? So laser hair removal was something that I wanted to get done. And then I was like, maybe I can learn it. Like, that'd be cool. And then that sort of went into my just brain exploding into how much I loved all of the other aspects of the field.
So what would
Amazing.
you say is the difference? Like if someone's looking at this, and I think I'll speak for Canada itself, that's a
Yeah.
wide range of medical aesthetics out there and what defines it versus we'll call traditional aesthetics, where you do your traditional aesthetics and then you go take a laser course, you take a, deep peel course, you take that type of thing. So is there, how did you choose it, or how did you know what to look for to be reputable in a sense that you felt, well, maybe you didn't feel ready to get out there and do clients either, based on whatever program you had taken. And we're not cutting down programs here, it's just trying to
Sure.
help people make those decisions. How do you choose the right place if you want to go take a medical aesthetics course or
Yeah,
program?
great question. Because it's not a regulated profession, at least not in the province of Ontario where I live and work, it is tricky to find accredited schools, to find reputable places, because it's a lot more private career college oriented. Like, none of the colleges in my area at least offer it as a program. So the school that I had went to back when I was in school was an accredited program. So that was one of the things that I looked for. And they were a functioning clinic as well. So they had like a clinic facing and then a school side. So that was really neat because you got to use the facilities to do the treatments and practice on real patients. So that was really helpful. And you want to make sure that there's some sort of medical affiliation, right? So you don't want to be taking a laser hair removal course from somebody in their basement or, you know, something along those lines, which is out there as well. And not to say that they don't know what they're talking about, but if you're affiliated with a medical professional, which is the way medical aesthetics should be, right? You have either a physician or a nurse practitioner or some sort of regulated medical professional in the realm, because it is a dangerous field and there's lots of things that can go wrong. So as long as you have that affiliation with the clinic or with the school, that to me is a green flag. So that would be one of the things that I would look for if you're looking for education. And yeah, that's a pretty good one.
I have a question on that note. Is okay, so if you wanted or when you decided to open your own med spa, do you have to have a medical professional collaborate with you or on staff? How does that work? Because I'm trying to think of like our listeners, if they're like, okay, yeah, but I want my own. Like, how did it come to that? And what do you need? I know it's depends on the country.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. Like we'll sort
your
of
own regulations.
Yeah, blanket statement with that. So, yeah. Not everything requires medical direction, right? So like if you wanted to, say, perform microdermabrasion, dermaplaning, and chemical peels, you don't need a medical director for that. However, if you don't have a medical director, the level of chemical peels that are available for you to purchase would be different, right? So our account, for example, with our distributor was only able to be opened because we had a physician affiliated with the clinic. So it just allows you to have different levels of acids, for example, with chemical peels, and also allows you access to different class levels of lasers. So they're typically, not every laser company, but some laser companies will have what they call a spa laser and then a medical laser. So when you have that medical affiliation, you get access to the type of lasers that you need to get real results and the type of peels and you know, technology that requires that medical supervision, and as well as for injectables. So you definitely can't have any Botox filler, PRP, anything like that without the medical director.
Or even the depth of your microneedling, right?
Yeah, right. That's, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
How did you go from, okay, you were like interested, you went to school. How did you go from that point to having your own med spa?
So I have a business partner who is a nurse practitioner. So her and I kind of like joined forces, and she deals with essentially all of the injectable side of the business. And of course, the medical side from what she needs to, from what we do with the skin and all of the technology. So her and I co-own the clinic, and the academy is sort of something I did on my own through the business still, but her and I co-own the clinic and operate it in a really professional and safe way, because that's what we believe in. And we want that for all of our patients. And we see a lot of work that can sometimes have happened because of the unregulation too. So it's a passion project for me too, to keep everybody educated and safe. And it's really important.
100%. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I guess if someone was doing aesthetics or even contemplating moving into this side of the industry, what would you tell them?
Into the medical?
How would they start? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes what I see out there is they call themselves a medi spa. And they're not what we would call a medi spa.
Like, for sure.
I would define a medical spa. Like you said, you have to have a physician or medical director in a sense to be able to call that. And I think because they have lasers and they do microdermablating or microdermabrasion, microneedling, call them medi spas. Totally. But if someone wanted to do that, how can they separate? I guess that's more my question. How do they separate themselves to be reputable as a full-on medical establishment of a spa versus what the competition of these little kind of things are happening out there?
Great question. And that is a result of the unregulation, right? So that's...
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's hard for consumers because they don't know who to choose or what to do. And from a consumer standpoint, I would say, you know, look at the reviews, look at their staff, like that kind of a thing. And from a professional standpoint, you can find a medical director. So if you are even a nurse a registered, like an RPN, which is the 2-year program of nursing, or if you're even just an esthetician and you want to offer PRP microneedling and you know, get some access to medical grade skincare or medical grade chemical peels, you can find somebody who is willing to direct your clinic or direct you personally. It has to be the right fit, right? So my nurse practitioner, Lenka, my co-founder, she helps other clinics, but you know, she has to trust them too, because it's her medical license on the line. So if you have somebody in your life who, you know, you either trust or they trust you and you have a good relationship with them, they can be the director for you if that's a path you want to take. Or, you know, if you go work at a clinic, you might just gain access to a lot more colleagues and contacts that way too, if that's the route you want to go. You don't have to either, right? Like if you don't want to have that high level access to the types of equipment and stuff like that, then you can definitely make a career out of services that don't require a medical director as well.
So the only people that can operate that level of a deep peel, the type of lasers you mentioned, is the medical person.
They don't have to perform the treatments. They just have to oversee the clinic.
I see. Unless it's injectables, right? Then that changes it.
Yeah, injectables. Even then, so our medical director, for example, oversees our other nurses, and she just has to make sure that they're checking in with her about what to do and you know, what sort of dosages they're using and that kind of a thing. But she doesn't have to perform each service, no.
Okay.
There's a lot of clinics that even operate via Zoom. So there's a lot of nurses that they'll have their medical director, say they live, you know, 45 minutes away or whatever, they'll have a Zoom conversation with the patient. And then the medical director will be, okay, yep, like you're good to perform the treatment.
Oh, I see. So they do the consultation initially and then guide the staff in what to do next.
Basically, is that yeah. Way to get it? Simply, yep.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. That's so much info.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I have another question here. How would, because you have an academy as well. Mm-hmm. So how would getting a medical aesthetics certification differ than a regular aesthetics certification?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the regular sort of traditional aesthetics will cover more like beauty maintenance treatments. So facials, waxing, makeup, lash and brow treatments. You'll do basic chemical peels, probably like glycolic and lactic, microdermabrasion, body wraps, stuff like that. So that's a typical traditional aesthetics program, and you can work in like a day spa setting. And then what I find happens is a lot of girls will do that program, and then they're kind of like, oh, I kind of want to learn microneedling, or I kind of want to learn laser hair removal or IPL and stuff like that. And then that's where the medical aesthetic side comes in. So it's more clinical grade treatments that are targeting skin conditions at a little bit of a deeper level. So you've got your injectables, of course, your Botox and filler, hair removal, IPL, advanced chemical peels, skin tightening and resurfacing and that kind of thing. So it's more of a result driven. It's not overly relaxing. There are some aspects of it. You know, we have facials that are result driven and can be relaxing too, but you know, microneedling and laser skin resurfacing is definitely not relaxing, but there's a result driven process there. That's sort of, a lot of people have that fix for, they really want something like myself, who I was like, no, like waxing is just not enough for me. I need something, you know, a little bit more advanced. So I find that the girls who are in the aesthetics program, when I do a lot of presentations at the colleges in my area, and I'd say it's about 50-50. Like some of the girls are like, no, I'm too nervous to do that. I want to do manicures and I'm happy. I'm like, okay, great. And then there's some girls who are like, no, give me the lasers. I want to like zap the mole off my arm. I'm like, okay. So yeah, it kind of just depends on your personality.
So when you look at hiring, and this is very interesting, I guess this is the negative side of it. When they are taking these courses, you were in a great opportunity because you had the place you chose actually had an operating clinic that you could work out of, and you gained experience there. A lot of times what we're hearing from people is that they're taking these courses. It's a medical level course for aesthetics,
yep,
but no one will hire them because they need 2 to 3 years of experience. Mm. How would you reach out to these people? What would you suggest they do? Because they don't want to go back and spend more money on schools,
for sure,
which I can understand, but is there anything that you would maybe, a tip you could share, or how do you help them?
Yeah, 100%. I would encourage them to knock on clinic doors and ask if you can shadow and just sort of watch what they do. And it would be unpaid, but honestly, it's so valuable. We had a lot of our staff actually come from that. So like, honestly, because what's it to them? They don't like, if you're just kind of following around and, you know, helping them out, if you say, you know, I'll clean your rooms for you, I'll flip them over. And, you know, you're at least some sort of an asset to them in the way that you're helping them out in their day to day. And all you want to do is learn from them. If they don't want you, then they'll say no. But I don't see why anyone would say no to that. If somebody's knocking on my door saying, hey, can I help you out all day? And all I want to do is just like ask you some questions and follow you around. I'm like, sure. So
I remember one young girl, she was really frustrated to been applying. I said, have you thought of asking, you know, how about I start at the front desk?
Yeah, that too.
And then I can help and observe and then move into the clinic side and maybe help set up and clean up and watch and have mentorship. And I think we have to understand to how do you get experience? Sometimes you're not going to start where you think you're going to start, but find the opportunities where you could begin. And that might be a year of just doing that and learning. But I think, you know, sometimes they forget how much is involved in running a place like that and the liabilities and the insurance and the trust that you've created with your clients that are coming through the door. And it's not just, you're taught on one machine to do, if I can just simplify it, on one laser machine and you go to operate. So I don't know how to use that one. I need a different machine. It's like, that's not the education you should be looking for. Then really? It's understanding what laser hair removal is and the types of machines and what they do, so that all you need to do is understand how to operate the machine, but you should be able to deliver the treatment. Have you come across that where sometimes people are like, I can't do it because I don't know your machine?
All the time. And in fact, it was one of the driving forces for me creating the academy, because in my opinion, if you understand the basics of laser physics, for example, and the anatomy of skin, I want to teach you how to drive a car and then you can drive any car, right? Like you get in the wheel and you can, like, you know, maybe some of the buttons are different or some of the mirrors are in a different place, but you can operate the car because you know how to drive. So that's sort of the theory that I had when I created my content. Was I had no brand affiliations whatsoever, because I don't want to sell a brand. I want to sell the science, and that you can understand that so you learn it. And that helps you choose equipment too. So if you're going to open your own practice, you won't get hosed by a laser rep, which I can't stand them all, no offense, but they, like, you know, yeah, they're not there to help you. They just want to sell a machine. So understanding all of that really does empower you to make good choices for your clinic as well as good choices for your patients.
I love your analogy. And that's something that I'm going to start using for people choosing schools and training. It's like, are you going to learn how to drive the car that they have, or are they going to teach you how to drive a car so you can use any car?
Yeah. Right.
Like, I love that analogy. Such a good one. A really simple way to put it. Love it. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So you touched on, the laser reps, and you're like, oh, you know, that to me sounds like something you wish you knew early on.
Yeah.
If somebody is looking to open their own med spa, I think from what I'm hearing from the conversation so far, it's like, it's really good to get that basis of experience. I love the idea of going and shadowing, not just to get the experience, but also see what you like about how a business is run, so that you can down the road, when you want to open your own business, know what you want to do and what you don't want to do. Mm-hmm. What are some things that, if you can, you know, this could be a long conversation, but what are maybe two or three things that you wish you knew at the beginning before deciding or opening your own med spa that would have made the journey a lot easier for you?
That's a hard one, but
you can even pick one.
I know.
Just pick a couple things.
I know, right? Yeah. I mean, when it comes to equipment, just do as much research as possible. And like, it boils down to, you want to know your science, you can choose the right equipment. But another thing that's super important that I think people don't really think about is the support after the purchase. So the support that you get from the companies, and there's a lot of reputable companies who have great support, and there's a lot of companies, unfortunately, who you never hear from them again. You sign the contract, you buy the machine, and they're like, who are you? And that's really important. And it's hard to know before you kind of get into a relationship, but there's so many groups on Facebook, for example, where it's like, you know, Aesthetics Connect Canada or what have you. And there's a bunch of different resources that, you know, pop a quick question and they're like, hey, has anyone worked with X company before? How was their support? How are their warranties? Like all of those things are super important. So being knowledgeable about the equipment and the science behind it is important for you to navigate the info that they're going to give you. But then trying to do a little bit of research on what their company is like from an after purchase standpoint is really, really important and a game changer, like game changing. If you don't have that support, it's really, really tough.
I love that. That's a good one.
Yeah. Another touch point. I know that you and I had a meeting before this, but we chatted about when you hire someone to the point where you know that they are good to go, independent, fly birdie fly, you can go, right? What I know everyone's different, but what's on average would you say they've taken the course and now they're going to come work for you? How long do you find that you have to spend with them for training? Because I think this surprises them when they come out of school that they're actually not ready completely.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's almost everybody. And was another sort of driving force for me creating the academy. It was originally for a training tool because I, like, every time I hired somebody, I had to go through the same process.
Over and over.
I'm like, I'm just going to put this all in one thing and then, like, it can repeat itself. So, because it's timely, right? And I still do spend one-on-one time with them, of course, but the theoretical knowledge at least is all in the platform. But I'd say I usually, the way I train my staff is I'll start them with the basics. So, you know, facials, chemical peels, laser hair removal, for example, and they'll do that on their own for a good few months after I've spent at least 2 or 3 weeks with them on hand after the online training as well. So, like, we're already at 4 months, let's say. And then, you know, the more advanced treatments like radio frequency, microneedling, skin resurfacing, like that kind of thing, I'd say about a year. Yeah,
it takes
for sure. And that's with like constant, you know, every patient they have, they're texting me, hey, Alicia, are these settings okay? And then I either say yes or no, or I adjust. But yeah, I'd say a good year from like hire to being completely trained on everything, full service menu, would be about a year.
Wow. I think that's something that's good to know if you want to open your own med spa. Mm-hmm. I would have not thought of that at all.
I'm like a little bit crazy though. I have really high, I'm like, so that might not be every place, but yeah. I just want everyone to understand how dangerous it can be if you're not trained. So I kind of maybe overdo it, but I feel more comfortable with that mentality. So
it's good to have those higher standards, especially in this realm of work, right? Because the risks are higher.
Exactly. And the last thing you want is a lawsuit or, you know, even just if you injure somebody and like, you've caused somebody pain or you've caused somebody an unfortunate event, it does affect you too. Like you are a wreck. It's not like, trust me, I've seen it. The girls that are on my staff, it's happened a couple times where, you know, something bad happens they didn't anticipate. And you're like in a bad place for a long time because nobody, it's not why you entered this career, right? Like you wanted to help people. So mitigating those adverse events is like top priority for sure.
Mm-hmm. What do you do when something like that happens? Like, what are your protocols?
Yeah, it depends on the event. But I mean, let's say a burn, for example, right? So first course of action would be to have our nurse practitioner write some sort of a prescription for them, given this, you know, level of burn that it could be. And then after the burn has sort of like subsided and healed, making sure we're giving them the correct topicals to put on it so it doesn't scar, and then having them come in on a really consistent basis for scar revision if we need to do that. So it hasn't happened. I feel like it's only happened maybe one or two times throughout the course of my career, but it's puts you on the work. Yeah, it's really terrible. And it's a lot of time and effort and money to deal with adverse events as well. But yeah, like even just a small burn, typically we have protocols where it's like, okay, if they need a prescription, then our nurse practitioner will write them a prescription. If it's just sort of like a, ooh, you know, we need some aloe and, you know, cortisone cream, it depends on the level. But yeah, we typically have medical intervention, at least a consult about like, you know, this is what happened. What do you think? And then go from there. So at least we can be directed medically in the best way.
It sounds like it's good to have a plan of action in case you need it, right? And that be something that you have ready on hand and you train your staff on it right off the get-go.
Absolutely.
Hopefully you never need to use it, but the risks are there for a reason because it does happen.
Absolutely. And lasers are very humbling and, you know, it may not even be anything that you could foresee, but, you know, maybe they were on a medication they didn't tell you about or, you know, something and you're like, what? Like, that's usually what happens, right? Is there was some sort of unspoken piece of information that was critical. So, you know, patient assessment and reading the medical forms and the consent forms is really important. And I'm not trying to scare anybody off from the profession. It's a very rewarding profession and you get really impactful results. So, you know, there's pros and cons to everything. And as long as you're sort of making sure that you're really on point and you're asking all the questions and you're being thorough, the chances of an adverse event happening are very, very slim.
Yeah. And if you have an establishment like yourself and you have lots of staff and that type of thing, you have all of the protocols in place. So if someone's looking at doing this, and I find that sometimes people are like, I want to own my own medical spa, and they don't realize everything they have to have done in place and ready to go. Maybe the medical director would help with that side of it. Would that be fair to help guide them on that, do you think?
Yeah, there should be. Absolutely. There should be safety sort of protocols, you know, a training manual of some kind. And especially with the regulated medical professionals, they also have, you know, like you have to fill out this form and then you have to there's protocols that they would have for their sort of college that oversees them as well. So yeah, like 100%, there's always going to be some sort of protocol to turn to, but you know, to, in a preventative sense, just make sure you're asking all the questions and reading the forms. Don't get lazy. Don't get like, I've treated, you know, because even if you've had this patient for 12 years, things change. Like, you know, people start doing different things or they're on different medications or, you know, something else has happened. So as soon as somebody comes in my office, I'm like, has anything changed with your medical history? Even if I saw them a month ago, it's like just getting in the routine of checking in with that so that you can operate in the best way that you know how.
Don't make any assumptions.
Yes, of course. And
people lie. Also,
they withhold.
Yes. Yeah. So it's just like, yeah, it's not often. And most people are very forthcoming because once you start the conversation, it's like, this is for your safety. Then, you know, it's like, I don't want to poke and pry in your life. I just want to make sure you're safe.
Yeah,
exactly. And I think that's where they have to understand it. When you just going back to the academy, this is mainly for staff, but you do offer it outside of it. So how does that look if they don't work in your establishment and they sign up for your course? Are you okay to kind of tell us a little bit walking through? Is it all theory and then practicum at the end? Or are they getting a little bit of both of everything throughout? And how long is everything? Just to compare when they're looking at which car they're going to drive, maybe.
Yeah, great. I love it. Yeah. So I originally did develop the academy for my staff as a training tool, but I do offer it as a certified medical esthetician and laser technician training program. So that is available. All of the theoretical is online. So it's about 60 to 100 hours of online theory. And then they would do their practicum at the clinic with me. So it doesn't necessarily have to even be my theoretical. I don't need it to be my theory, as long as they have a medical aesthetics certificate or laser technician certificate. I can work with that in clinic as well, but they do need to have some theoretical knowledge in order for the hands-on practicum to make any sense, right? So my online content is about 60 to 100 hours. It's priced at $2,000, and that gives you your certificate and all of the theoretical knowledge for a medical aesthetics and laser technician. And then you can do your practicum with me at the clinic if you so choose, which I would highly recommend doing as well, because just getting that hands-on practice and muscle memory is like bar none.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't know if we have more questions or anything else you want to add to this.
No, that's okay. I just, it's an amazing, rewarding career. Every day is different. You know, if you're more results driven, which I think a lot of estheticians are, right? Like, you love popping your pimples and you love, like, it's just like, you know, it's something that we have in us that I can't explain other than the satisfaction of it. So yeah, the medical side of it gives you a little bit more of that satisfaction feeling when you get to really see a significant change in someone, you know, a kid's coming in with grade 4 acne and you get to really change his life by clearing that up. That's pretty big. And scar revision, people have, you know, I have a patient who had a scars from an accident that I was able to not reverse completely, but fade to enough where it was like super, super minimal. And that's pretty cool too. And you get to really make impactful changes to people's confidence, which is really, really nice.
That's amazing. So if somebody came up to you and said, I'm dreaming of opening my own med spa, what would you say? Do it? Don't do it?
Absolutely do it. It's the best. I love every day. Like, I'm happy. We call it, our workplace is like adult Disneyland. Like, all my staff come in, they're like, this is Disneyland. I'm like, I know. I have nothing negative to say about the industry. Every job obviously has things that like you wish were different, like, you know, the regulations and stuff like that. But that's a fight that I can't necessarily fight on my own. But it's very rewarding every day. Like, you're always being challenged too. So it's never stagnant, which aesthetics in general is never stagnant, but medical aesthetics, just like, it's so fast and technology changes so fast and you're never bored. That's for sure. There's always a new product or a new, you know, technique or something coming out. And, you know, we're always invited to all these fun dinners and you get to learn and have, you know, fancy foods. And it's definitely a very enjoyable way to spend your working years.
Nice. I love that. Well, on that note, I loved how you ended that. And so thank you for joining us. And I think, Dreen, you're going to add everything about Alicia on the description.
Yep. And in the description, yeah.
Can you also add that group that you mentioned on Facebook? Because sometimes people don't realize there's actually communities out there that they can go to. I think you, what was it called? A Canadian?
Oh, there's so many. I can send you my list. I'm a part of a bunch of them.
Oh, okay.
There's a bunch of, it's just like the little groups that, you know, someone somewhere decided they wanted to have a group, and then you have to have certain reasons for wanting to join, and there's rules, like you can't self-promote and stuff like that, but it's just a community building group where it's really just like asking questions and then getting feedback from other estheticians. So it's really it's really helpful, and it's a good learning tool, and just like being able to ask about different devices. And I'll send you those for sure.
Perfect. Yeah, I can put those links in, but I mean, for our listeners that might not be in Canada, they can just look at, just kind of searching it on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Finding their own like local version of these aesthetics groups is a great resource. You need somebody to bounce ideas off of. Ask questions too. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be Canadian. Like, it's there. Even if you just search esthetician groups, there's so many. Yeah,
absolutely. Amazing. Thanks.
You're right.
Well, thanks again.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day. And thanks again for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for joining us. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Beauty.